Violence against women is an ongoing issue for the women's movement. It particularly affects some of the most vulnerable women in our society. Those subject to racism, a lack of support services, and uncaring governments. Please welcome Cheryl Martin, who is a plain Cree woman originally from Manitoba. She has faced in her journey the first-hand negative effects of colonialism and unjust policies that are imposed on the indigenous people of Canada. She is an artist, activist, and seasoned social worker currently working in the court system. Crystal's passion is seeing that justice for indigenous people and environmental justice are at the forefront of the political agenda. Please welcome Cheryl Martin.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here today to speak about Aboriginal women's issues and Aboriginal issues. I brought here with me today some pictures of very important women who were instrumental in my life. I wouldn't be here today without them. The first picture is my great-grandmother, who is in the back. The backdrop is the prairies where I'm from in Manitoba. And underneath is my grandmother. And my grandmother was a social activist. Well into her 90s, she was involved in sitting on boards, and in her 90s was instrumental in helping that a nursing home came to the city of Winnipeg for the seniors of that area. I want to say that these women shaped my thought process on the politics of Native people of this land. My grandmother lived to 102, and she had incredible stories of what it was like being in that time and facing political abuse and racist policies, and still kept forward in the struggle. So I always carry their spirits with me. Thank you. Today I would like to address the topic of Aboriginal women's issues, mainly the topic of our murdered and missing women in Canada. In a 2009 report from Amnesty International, it states that Aboriginal women in Canada face much higher rates of violence than other women. In a 2004 Canadian government survey, Indigenous women reported rates of violence, including domestic violence and sexual assault, 3.5 times higher than non-Indigenous women. Studies suggest that assaults against Indigenous women are not only more frequent, they're also often particularly brutal. According to another government survey, young First Nations women are 5 times more likely than other women to die as a result of violence. Yes. According to a 2009 report put out by the Native Women's Association of Canada called Sisters in Spirit, as of March 31st, 2009, 520 cases have been entered into their database. Of those cases, 67% have been murdered, 1% suspicious death, 8% unknown, and 24% missing. Now, further investigation is suggesting that the number is climbing to the number of 2,000 murdered and missing Aboriginal women. Yay! Aboriginal communities and families across this nation are losing their mothers, grandmothers, daughters, nieces, sisters, aunts, and cousins. To destroy a nation is to destroy its women. This reality hit home to my family in 1991 when my cousin Angie Levesque, at age 16, was brutally murdered and left dead on a Manitoba highway. The impact of her death is still felt within our family, and with our family today, she is missed and we continue to honor her life. Losing an Aboriginal woman creates huge impacts in our communities. We are losing generations. In some of our Aboriginal communities, we have a matriarchal line and women are the foundation of our society. We are treasures, and society needs to go back to treating Aboriginal women and all women with respect. Indigenous people have had to endure a history of the violence of colonization, imposing on them racism, patriarchy, and systemic discrimination. The Indian Act has colonized and dispossessed First Nations people of this land. The sole purpose of the Indian Act was meant to assimilate, control, and eradicate Aboriginal people. It has been witnessed throughout history with the imposition of the the reservation system, disease, forced removal of children into the residential school system, and again in the 60s into foster care, and to add, broken treaty agreements. All of this resulting in the dispossessing of First Nations people. Also, with regards to the Indian Act and the issue of property distribution, the Indian Act has no provisions for matrimonial property after marital breakdown. As federal legislation in this area has been held not to apply in reserve, in this context, Aboriginal women and their children have no way to fight for their family home. In 2008, the Canadian government issued a public apology to Aboriginal people for the suffering impacted on them through the residential school system. But what has that apology done? Where has it taken us? Apology has to be followed up with a form of action. On March 4, the federal government pledged $10 million in funding over a period of 2 years to address the disturbing high number of missing and murdered Aboriginal women of this country. The news release further states that the federal budget noted the particular challenge faced by Aboriginal women in accessing the justice system. By addressing the vulnerability to violence experienced by Aboriginal women, the federal government made a firm commitment to take concrete actions to ensure the law enforcement and the justice system meets the needs of Aboriginal women and families. In reality, this has to be something that they follow through on, because we've had a history of broken treaty agreements. So, you know, our reluctance to believe that, we hope that they will follow through. It has been said that society is measured by how we treat our most weakest and vulnerable people. The issue of missing and murdered Aboriginal women is a national outrage and another form of genocide. It needs to be a political priority. A clear message must be sent to the broader public and the Canadian government that our Aboriginal women are not disposable. We are women of a proud nation, and like all other women of this land, we have dreams and aspirations. These dreams and aspirations need to be made a reality. History has shown a story of broken promises when it comes to Aboriginal people and the government. The government must be held accountable for their pledges in order to address this matter with honor. Our Aboriginal women and our communities need to have full participation of how this money is spent to ensure that the Aboriginal women, families, and communities have their safety and their fundamental human rights restored. To end, I would like you to take a look around in this room. I would like you to look at the women next to you. They are our sisters. They are our mothers, our grandmothers, aunts, nieces, cousins, and partners. We are here today united in solidarity, and let us make a commitment to stop the violence against Aboriginal women and all women in society. Join with me in saying, justice for Aboriginal women, no justice, no peace. Justice for Aboriginal women, no justice, no peace.